Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
And you know this, man. What up, War Room World? We're back for some more sports fun. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined by the Blueprint, Jimmy Williams, and the HBC, B. Austin. Super Bowl was trash for those of us with no dog in the fight, no Mike Vick. And, oh, yeah, Broncos fans, condolences to my brother Jimmy. But we're going to recap it anyway and put the 2013 NFL season to bed. But before we do that, we got plenty more on deck for you, so make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join in the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. During the week, make sure you guys take some time to hear more great sports talk from some of our partners and affiliates. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And check out Brandon Pemberton on Sports Trap Radio every Thursday afternoon from noon to 2 on Blog Talk Radio. Catch the brother doing his Dan Patrick thing solo by yourself. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviveradio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. Hey, Jimmy, how can they check out all of our partner shows?
Yo.
What's that link?
What you need to do is go to our Google Plus. Go to our Google Plus page. That's google.com/plus War Room Sports. That's right, google.com/plus War Room Sports. Or just go to Google Plus and look up War Room Sports, because we're taking over the whole internet.
So you'll find us, no doubt. All right, so, you know, fellas, football season is over. So what you going to do now?
Yo, all I'm going to do is pray for Richie Incognito, yo, and to Jonathan Martin. Used to be my homie, used to be my ace. Now I just want to slap
now
the,
I slap
out
the taste out your mouth. Make it 9 hours for the row. My fault.
Damn. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. I'm sure everybody knows
that
about
travesty.
Their whole text message history being exposed on the internet, and it doesn't really look good for Jonathan Martin. But, Jimmy, let everybody know what happened this week while they were on that grind.
Absolutely, absolutely. And for those who don't know, While You Were On The Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, listen, we know the season is over. Get into the groove right now before next season so you can learn the channels and whatnot. But also, make sure you get DirecTV so you can get the ticket. And this is not the Red Zone channel. Those are two different things. Please believe it. But go to warroomsports.com, look at the DirecTV logo, click on that, and you can get the hookup, Master P voice.
No doubt. I'm supposed to be letting them know what's happening on the ground.
You know it's all good. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Good brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I saw what it was. I pick up the pieces. You know what I'm saying? Pick up the pieces.
We are well-oiled.
Did you guys hear about Tracy McGrady, man? Tracy McGrady, now that he's done with the NBA, I don't know if that's by choice, he said he wants to try baseball. So, you know, he's trying to pitch professionally with the Atlantic League's Sugarland Skeeters is the name of the club. If the Sugarland Skeeters sounds familiar to you, it's because that's the club that Roger Clemens pitched about 2 games for a few years back at 50 years old. So Tracy McGrady says he's always loved baseball. I hear that his fastball is clocking around 85, 86 mile an hour, but they said he has some stuff with him, you know, a slider, a curveball. They said he got some stuff with him. So what do you guys think about
Tracy
pursuing
him? Okay, hold on. He already throwing sliders and curveballs, though?
Yeah, he said he got
To be honest, you know, typically I would slander T-Mac, but I've consistently heard through the years about his love of baseball. And, you know, I also happen to know, I believe, allegedly, that he did well with his money. It definitely doesn't show in his suit game and the suits that he chooses.
Yo, that's why he did well, because he is not spending money on his sartorial game.
Not at all. But I've heard he's done well with his money. So that's what you can do when you've taken care of your financial responsibilities. You're wealthy.
Talk to him.
Yo, you just go and do, you know, you kind of fulfill your dream. So I support this brother's move to baseball. If this is what he wants to do, yo, F it, yo, go for it. You're still a relatively young man.
Yeah. And he echoed your sentiments kind of. He said, you know, I have money, so it's not about money. It's just something that I've always loved. And, Jimmy, they said, because 85 mile per hour as a major league pitcher is not that great of a fastball.
This is
an NBA forward, you know what I'm saying? So, said he complements his fastball with a curveball, a changeup, a slider, and a splitter. So,
pitchers, like, I'm talking about in the big leagues, they can't do that, yo.
Hey,
yo,
exactly.
He has all
a lot of people with, like, one or two go-to pitches.
Yo, I don't believe that, yo. I'm just going to take the stance that I don't believe he can throw all those pitches, yo.
Yeah, we're going to have to see that.
I think they're doing a little bit of puffery right here,
that's
man.
That's a lot of pitches.
Yo.
And they're talking about if they can add one or two more pitches to his repertoire, you know, he'll be as versatile as, like, Matsuzaka or somebody. Like, come on, Tracy.
Yo, man.
I want to see if he can add. If he can add 3 or 4 miles an hour to his fastball, we might be talking about my man kind of, you know, being in spring training with somebody.
He's going to be in spring training with the Sugar Land Skeeters. That's about it. But more power to him. Good luck to him just in case. You know what I mean? Maybe some lowly club out there need to sell some tickets and they'll bring him in like they put Michael Jordan.
T-Mac, just don't quit on your team like you were known to do in the go ahead.
All right, keeping it in the baseball mix, this story isn't as positive. Former Major League pitcher Curt Schilling, you know, Red Sox, Phillies, Arizona Diamondbacks, he announced the other day that he's battling cancer right now. And this was his quote. He said, "I've always believed life is about embracing the gifts and rising up to meet the challenges. We've been presented with another challenge as I've recently been diagnosed with cancer." This is crazy, you know, because Curt Schilling, you know, from his Phillies days, he's one of my favorites. But he had some health problems last year, I think, where he may have had, like, some heart problems. Now he's been diagnosed with cancer? Like, damn, Kurt. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, yo, it's very sad. Like, me and Dev had a conversation this past weekend. We were talking about how it seems like, yo, cancer's a beast, man. Like, we've all lost someone to cancer, and it's scary just to hear the word.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's attacking people younger and younger these days. That's a conversation we were having. Like, yo, this cat's 20 and 30 years old, you know, getting cancer. Like, what's popping, man?
Man, I got people I went to school with on my Facebook timeline who's passed from cancer, and it's kind of creepy, you know, because their Facebook page is still up. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
There's no age on this disease anymore. Not that Curt Schilling is the youngest of all, but to Jimmy's point, there's no age on this thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Getting a little scary.
I don't really have any thoughts on this other than get well soon and fight the good fight.
Yeah, no doubt.
God bless you.
All right. Well, you know, we don't want to keep the grind in a sad state, because usually the grind is where we get our JoJo nominees, and
I think we have
our first JoJo nominee coming up right now. Paul George, who's like a new favorite of, you know, just about everybody. I know he's a player that I like to watch. This guy, as Jimmy would say, shot the club up. But this time he shot the strip club up, as he's gotten a Miami stripper pregnant. Not only did he get her pregnant, but he tried to pay her $1 million to abort the baby. Jimmy, I think we have ourselves a nominee. What's
yo,
up with y'all,
yo,
man?
Yo,
play that
music. Yo, here's my thing, right? Yo,
PG?
I mean, if you every man loves Love Canal, man. It's no doubt about that. I mean, I shouldn't say every man. Because that's the ultimate number one alone.
And she's a very attractive lady. So, you know, you'd
come
be
on,
a different
man. Yo,
type.
Yo, a stripper? A stripper? A stripper, though, cuz?
Everybody
everybody
who plays for the Miami Heat probably done been up in that. Hopefully.
Yo, right. It's like, dog, she's a stripper, though, B. Like,
Dwayne
and that's
Wade.
A stripper.
Yo,
shout out to all the strippers who listen to the War Room on their, you know, smartphones.
Yo,
but,
shout out to
Myra. We love strippers,
two.
Man.
We love y'all, man.
We love exotic entertainers of the female persuasion. Yams. Oh, yams.
Go ahead, Bia.
I was going to say, what you got to understand is a lot of these guys aren't really well-versed in the art of war. And what I mean by that is the art of macking and playing the game. Like, they're just corny noodles who are tall and have a lot of money. So they make a lot of mistakes, and this was a major mistake. She was probably happy and pissed when he was in the skin because she was like, I'm getting paid.
Did you see the – did you see the photos that she's taking holding her belly? She's very happy. She's smiling in every photo I've seen. Because think about it. Why would you take $1 million payoff when you when you compare that to the money that, you know, she's going to receive from this man for the next 18 years? I mean, unless he goes Antoine Walker on us or something and blows
she's
his money fast. But the investment is... The investment in having this baby is way better than taking $1 million to shut up, especially since Paul George, he's not just, you know, your average run-of-the-mill NBA player. He's one of the NBA's newest superstars, and, you know, his dollars are about to be large. So I don't understand why these dudes put themselves in this position, man. He probably was out with Dwayne Wade one night.
I mean, yo, it's one of the things where, yo, when you get into that situation where the yamage is there a lot of times, yo, you think with the wrong head, man. Like, I mean, we've all been there. I'm pretty sure. No, I don't even want to say that, but
don't tell.
Yeah. No, Jonathan Martin, man. I'm gonna be quiet, man. I'm gonna say that for our text message, man. I ain't gonna say nothing.
The craziest twist in the story. Paul George has a girlfriend. His girlfriend's name is Callie Rivers. Her last name is Rivers because she is the daughter of Clippers head coach Doc Rivers.
Yo, I didn't even know that part of the story.
Sir.
The one that played volleyball?
Yes, sir.
The one that has the amen.
Yo, she is tough.
She plays volleyball for the University of Florida. Before she played professionally in Puerto Rico. So that's who his girlfriend was. I don't know what
yo,
his
he
name
can't
is.
That, yo,
I guess when he becomes a free agent, he can't go out to Clippers. I mean, he can still go to the Lakers. He likes them, but he won't be playing for the Clippers.
I have some advice from a young boy, Pauly Georgie, and it was said by one Mr. Jason Phillips. You have to be able to say, I know that you've seen me in and out of your house, but there's no way that she can have a baby out of her mouth.
Yo, man. You can't.
Younger,
that
man. They don't listen
life.
To Jason Phillips, man. They listen to, you know, 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz tell you to go
yo,
for
cause.
It.
Yo, cuz.
I'm different.
She was so
yes,
bad,
I'm
yo.
Different.
I might let her give me eight. Yo, never mind. yo,
yes.
I can't believe he messed that up, though, yo. I can't believe he messed that up, yo. That's all I'm going to say, man.
Yo.
Yo. He's a noodle,
Jimmy
yo.
Sound like
hold
he
up.
Eating,
as a matter of
Jimmy
fact,
sound like
you,
he eating
you,
yam on the first date.
Yo, when you add that to the story, yo, we have to go back and tell Paul George.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yo, you know what, man? You might even could triple that up because you realize that what Paul George has done is messed that up for every brother. Yo, she going to go over to the other team immediately.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Paul George, and it's just as he,
never,
just as he like takes another
her.
Step.
I've never seen her. I've never seen her.
You never seen
now.
Doc Rivers' daughter?
Get your Google out.
Yo, and it's so bad that when you type in Doc Rivers, it's Doc Rivers' daughter is like the third thing that comes up. So she must be well searched.
Yo!
Remember, she used to be. She used to be
See,
on
I
the sideline.
I told you,
mother. You know,
yo,
they got her on here being kissed on by some other dude, though.
Yo,
okay,
yeah,
yo, anything that you say on this radio can be held against you. So I take it, yo, Paul George, and I'm gonna punch you in the face.
And the pictures on here, and the pictures on here doing no justice, yo. She thicker than a snicker. I'm just saying, man, like,
yo,
you know,
jeez.
Yo, I'm looking at the photos, too. Y'all might have to give dude another one, man.
Yo, you
damn,
have to, Jimmy.
Paul George.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yo.
I'm looking at this young lady
and,
in a
hold
volleyball
on,
uniform.
And she come from bread. And she come from bread, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, so if he did blow his money fast.
Right. Exactly.
She ain't gonna put up with it.
We gotta move. He's
got
like four,
yo,
so I'm pretty
options,
sure. Pretty sure
options.
He's gonna win this competition. But we do have some more JoJo Award. We have some more JoJo Award nominees, and you can spread them all around on this one. There is supposed to be a quote unquote celebrity boxing match that's supposed to take place between George Zimmerman, of course, the man who killed Trayvon Martin, and rapper DMX.
Murdered.
Floyd Mayweather
X gonna
Sr.
Give it to you.
Is supposed to be the referee in this whole thing. What do you guys think of this, man? This like we got to talk about this for a second. What
hey,
do you guys think
you
of this
the referee
whole gonna
thing?
Be? Floyd Mayweather Sr. Supposedly. Because the promoter of this thing,
I hate black people.
Damon Feldman, they said they got when they put it out there that George Zimmerman wanted to box somebody, they got over 15,000 emails of people wanting to box him. Because at first you heard the rumors that he was going to fight the game, the rapper the game. But that didn't come to fruition because I actually heard at first that they let George Zimmerman choose. And, you know, if I was dude and it was between DMX, I'm a notorious crackhead, and the game, I probably would have picked DMX as well. But is this making a mock? Like, first of all, how do you become a celebrity because you killed somebody and got acquitted
for it? Yeah. That, I mean, this is a mockery of pop culture, the American society, everything B. Austin always criticizes. It's wrong on so many levels. Like, first off, he's not a celebrity. That's one, all right? Two, like, yo, DMX, man, I feel sorry. I was just listening to DMX the other day. He's such wasted talent, man. Like, we knew he was having issues, but this is what you're resorting to like put food on your family at this point, man? Like, yo, man, DMX.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph and those reindeers had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on! All of the other...
Yo!
Yo, crack man. Is whack, yo. Listen,
what's wrong with X,
first,
man?
On Zimmerman's side, I think this dude is making, he's definitely making a mockery, in my opinion, of the Martin family, because he's actually trying to suckle off of his fame as if his fame came from anything positive. So this dude is out here seeming like he wants to get his 15 minutes of fame. I mean, I don't know what his situation is. Maybe it's difficult for him to find work these days because, you know, his life is probably in danger every time he goes outside. But there has to be another way, because this looks very disrespectful. And to DMX, yeah, like Jimmy said, if this is how you have to feed your family, like, damn, X, it's like that. Because though he's probably thinking, oh, man, it's a lot of people out there that want to see me knock this guy out, you know, want to see me kill this dude, blah, blah, blah. No, I think it's a very coonish act to sign up for this. I think it's coonish, and you're he's adding to the disrespect factor that's coming from the Zimmerman camp. And there's been a lot of petitions. One was change.org. There's petitions everywhere that's trying to get these things
stopped.
I don't really think it'll ever
see
the
one more person,
light of day.
Yeah, y'all got to chill with sending me that Facebook invite, too, with, like, you know, kill celebrity. Y'all got that, like, 6 million times, man. That, you know. But anyway, to your point, man, like, it is terrible on DMX's behalf, man. If there's any way that you can, you know, make some scratch for your family, because, I don't want to judge you if this is just the last thing that you can do, you know, other than committing a crime. But, yo, this got to be another way, yo. There's got to be another way, yo. You know how many struggling artists? First of all, every other person raps, right? Yo, DMX can just go around doing features for a couple hundred dollars, a couple grand here and there. You got all these struggling artists that are paying for that.
Remember we were watching the Jadakiss joint the other day? Jadakiss like,
I want a car. Find me a corny rapper that want to get on a feature.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. Like, somebody going to let you on a song, man. Just write a rhyme. Write about your life.
Yo,
write an album about your life.
Man.
It'll probably sell millions, for real, for real.
I've been quiet because this is, like, I've been seeing it on social media, and a part of me, what I do is I try and ignore some of this type of stuff so that it doesn't bring my day down, bring my energy down, because, you know, we laugh, we joke, we clown, and everything has its comedic value. But on a human level, there's a young kid that will never get to graduate from high school, go to college, get yams, if he got yams already, get yams again, hug his mom, hug his dad, experience life, and he didn't do anything wrong. And this MF-er killed him. And now he's going around getting notoriety and clown shit off of, I don't even want to, like you said, I don't want to call it fame, off of whatever it is that it's off of. And the saddest part of all of this is the value of life has dropped immensely, but the value of a young black man's life in America is probably less than a Snickers wrapper that's been laying on the street for 12 days. Like, I can't, this is, and then as we move along the line of things that make this effed up, then we move to Floyd Mayweather, DMX, who are, and anybody else that responded to this positively that ever considered it, even if you don't know who you are, and we know the game is a thirsty dude, so he considered it. He probably just was like, nah, it's not enough bread for me. Anybody that considered it, you are contributing to the slap in the face and the disrespect that Trayvon Martin's family is experiencing, and the diminishing and discounting of black men's lives in this country. Like, you're contributing to it.
Game tweeted that Zimmerman was scared, so he entertained it.
Yeah, he was trying
He contributed.
Game will do anything. Game will do anything.
He was trying to stretch his boots. He was on some, like, I'm you know what I mean, but not looking at the big.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Some of these dudes think they just, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to do this for all black men and black people, and I'm going to do, you know, but they, like Jimmy said, they're not looking at the big picture, and the big picture is that is you're contributing to the buffoonery. And plus, you know, DMX, he'd probably get his ass kicked anyway.
The best way to hurt somebody, yo, is to straight ignore their ass, man. I mean, you ever argue with a chick and she just ignore you? That just make you feel worse, yo. Like, yo, that just make you more angry. Like, so you gotta just ignore this dude, and y'all are appeasing him by boxing him, and all. It's just out of control.
Yo,
my thing is,
he's getting the last laugh. He's getting the last laugh.
My thing is this though, man. How are you gonna box a grown man? You didn't have the strength to get Trayvon off of you. That's why you shot him. Never mind.
Well,
no mind.
He's supposedly been training like MMA and boxing,
yo,
and all that kind of
no
stuff.
No one, all I can say to this is no one hates black people more than black people.
Boom.
Think
and
about
with
it.
That one.
Free jewelry.
That, yo, I ain't gonna say nothing. Let that ride, man. It's you know, let that itch breathe.
And with that, I think everybody involved with this, Zimmerman, DMX, the promoter, anybody who plans
the
to watch, all of y'all. Alright, Jim, let everybody know who's having a birthday.
Absolutely, man. And for those who may be listening for the first time, either live or via podcast, shame on you. But birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Rowe of APA. Treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond, visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call, write this down, 703-379-0700. I'll repeat it again. That's 703-379-0700. I know y'all got to get y'all feet taken care of out there shoveling snow, boots and all that on. So call APA, man. Don't forget, tell them War Room Sports sent you because you get a special rate. And like with all of our advertisers, man, yo, we got the hookup, Master P Voice. Now, birthday shout-out.
My birthday, yay!
First birthday is one Chris Humphreys, a.k.a. Chris Kardashian, who turns 29 years of age. Happy birthday.
Did he keep the last name?
Shout-out to...
I wouldn't be surprised if he kept the last name.
That would be hilarious. Shout-out to Roger Staubach, who turned 72, Hall of Fame quarterback and real estate mogul. Yeah, you know, cowboy, so it is what it is. Yo, and speaking of Roger Staubach, because I actually referenced him today in a debate we were having about, football. You know how people always say, well, quarterback, look who they played against. Look who the other quarterback was. You guys realize that when Roger Staubach won a Super Bowl, I think it was in 77, yo, the opposing quarterback had, like, 39 passing yards and 4 interceptions?
Damn.
Just a random fact. Yo, how do you throw for 39 yards in the Super Bowl? Anyway,
Roger Staubach just endorsed Troy Aikman for the GM job in Dallas, even though, you know, Jerry Jones never loosening his grip on that.
Yo, how you going to...
Because he referenced how well Elway's done in Denver. So now he's saying Troy Aikman would do the same type of job. All right, who's next?
Alright, next birthday, arguably the GOAT, Henry Louis, a.k.a. Hank Aaron. Henry Louis Hank Aaron turns 80. Happy birthday.
Damn.
Shout-outs to the brother, the legend, arguably the greatest player to ever play.
Who a lot of people recognize as the home run king, you know, people who hate Barry Bonds' guts.
Yeah.
Shout-out
to
Hank.
That's a whole nother story.
Hammering Hank.
A.K.A. better than made.
Yo, R.I.P. to a man who is arguably bigger than the game itself that he once played, George Herman Babe Ruth. Rest in peace, shout out to Babe Ruth. Rest in power, good brother, you know what I mean? A role model to all the fat players that want to play professional sports, Babe Ruth.
Yo, shout out to Babe Ruth, the way he lived his life, yo.
It's funny how much he's revered, though. I mean, dude died in 1948. It's 2014, and, like, everybody's still sweating this dude. Like, how great could baseball have really been
here's the thing. He was literally the best pitcher, in the league, and, stopped pitching to, like, and then became the best hitter. He was on something else, man. I mean, we've all read the stories about him and, his fornication with the ladies, how he, didn't work out. He ate what he wanted to. He lived life the way that most guys would want to live life.
He did.
He still was the best at his chosen profession.
He did what he did, yo.
His name his name became a word in a dictionary, like Ruthian. Like, that's a Ruthian feat, meaning a great feat.
Ruthian
like,
feat.
Whose name, like, goes into the dictionary like that? So shout out to Babe Ruth, man. He's actually one of the athletes who could be considered bigger than the sport. So shout out to George Herman Babe Ruth on his birthday. Those are the birthday shout-outs from the War Room. Salute to all these gentlemen on their birthdays, and also
Salute.
Ladies and Chris Humphries. But, Dev, tell everybody how to get in touch with us before we move on and talk about some other topics, good brother.
All right. Y'all know the deal and the drill. Check our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for our weekly newsletter, The War Report. Click on that Contact Us tab so you can send us a message about our company, our show, or anything else you want to talk about, especially sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Y'all better get on that boat. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're there browsing the site, you know, click around, click on the memorabilia tab so you can buy some merchandise. Click on the blog tab to read some articles. Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and then make sure you watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. There are icons for all of these things right there on the website. Right now, during the show, make sure you join the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow. To get updates and reminders about the show, we'll be taking questions, reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But if you want to call in and speak to us live, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And the only thing going on in the chat room right now is Skyview Kev bashing Jimmy because he's a Raiders fan. And, of course, Jimmy's a Broncos fan. So, you know.
Yo, man, I don't take slander from no Raiders fan, man. I can take slander from a lot of people, but not from a Raiders fan. Like, yo, do I need to post the scores the last four times we played each other? All right.
I thought not. Hey, look, we're going to talk some hot topics real quick because in about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, we got our homie, Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games. He's going to come on for a few minutes and talk to us about National Signing Day, college football. So, Jimmy, let everybody know real quick who these hot
Absolutely.
Topics are brought to them by.
The hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Visit audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can have an audio, but listen, you get a free audio book just by going to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. I'm reading a book now. It's called Gone Girl, and it's not one of those Ratchet Hood novels. This is actually a thriller, which is crazy right now, because I do like read everything from biographies to nonfiction to fiction to all kinds of mess. But listen, get a free book. Like I told you next time, I get my credits in a couple of days. I'm starting the Wilt Chamberlain book, so you guys will be hearing about that and reading my review on it. You know what I'm saying?
20,000?
Sex, money, and sex.
We all want to know like what Wilt's life was like in his words, so we're going to read the Wilt book and you know get an idea of that. So I'll be writing a review on that. But go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, get a free book. Hey, listen, read Wilt with me. You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
No doubt.
Anyway, Dev, what hot topics are on the agenda for this evening?
All right, well, you know, it's 2014, it's February, so that means the Winter Olympics have begun out in Sochi, Russia. Are there any Winter Olympic events that you guys are looking forward to?
Curling.
Should I even read the list? Like, are you, should
Yo,
I read
the
list and let you guys know what's even there?
I was looking today, and I didn't realize how much more I enjoyed the Summer Olympics to the Winter Olympics. I was like, yo, there's nothing to really get excited about. But go ahead. Read it.
It's about 15, 16 events. You have alpine skiing. You have the biathlon, which does a whole lot of stuff, cross-country skiing, rifle shooting, all kinds of stupid stuff. You got the bobsled, of course, and, you know, the Jamaican team made the bobsled this time around.
Feel the rhythm,
so
feel the rhyme.
That's like the biggest story. Cool Runnings Part 2. You got cross-country skiing, curling, which is, you know, what a lot of people said they're looking forward to. figure skating, I'll pass, freestyle skiing, you got hockey, of course, luge, the Nordic combined, the short track, the skeleton, whatever the hell that is, ski jumping, snowboard, and speed skating. So, I mean, there's a few things on there that I'm pretty sure I'm going to be interested in watching. But the big story, fellas, have you guys heard about all the problems that people have been having over there in Sochi so far?
Oh, man, in the words of the great George Michael,
man. The hotels aren't finished. The hotels aren't finished. They're claiming that terrorists are walking around the streets with long beards and kiappas on.
Homosexuals aren't allowed.
The KGB is about to... Homos are not allowed. KGB agents are in every on every corner. Yeah, it's nuts.
Yo,
okay.
Dev, I ain't gonna lie. I fell asleep while you were reading the topic, man. in the words of the great George Michael, man, wake me up before you go, because this is a stone cold sleeper, yo. There is really nothing I want to see. I could probably try to make up some stuff like you were getting ready to. Like, there's gonna be a couple. You're trying to be politically correct. Yo, there's nothing you really want to see. You don't want to see none of
Come
that
on,
trash,
man.
Yo.
You are going to tune in when the Jamaicans take the bobsled and slide down
jokes,
that dam.
That's all I'm doing it for.
I didn't ask you why you were interested. I just asked you what you were interested in.
Yeah, this
so,
is true.
I'm cracking
you're
gonna, jokes
you're
all
tune
day.
In to see Lolo. You're going to tune in to see Lolo go down the slope.
I probably won't.
Because,
I probably won't, actually.
She put on an extra layer of cape.
How about, but she got an extra layer of clothes on, too. It's cold over there. Nobody wants to see that.
No, they wear tight.
That's crazy when the problems in the city are the more interesting story. You know, they got billions of dollars. I think it's something around $51, $52 billion to put this spectacle on. Did they pocket the money? Because like B. Austin said, there are literally hotels that aren't finished. There are a bunch of people sitting around in hotel lobbies. Rooms aren't ready. I'm talking not just media and fans and family. I'm talking the Olympians. Shaun White tweeted. If you go to Twitter, it's not a hashtag. They actually made a Twitter account called Sochi Problems. And if you look at that and look at some of the photos on there, it's hilarious. The water is bad. People said when they turn on the faucets,
water
like
brown.
Iced tea, pee-looking stuff comes out of the faucet. And they're telling you, and you know,
that's
until we
rich,
restore
baby.
The water, they said don't even put it on your face because it has some dangerous chemicals in it. Like, how are you going to live over there for that many days if they're telling you not even to put
the
water on your
bid?
Face?
How they win the bid to host the games there? Like,
yo, they got the bid and then kept the money because – how are hotels not finished? The games begin today. If you look at that Twitter handle that I was just telling you.
Millions of money.
Yo, they had hotels. One person tweeted, said, this is my hotel. It doesn't have a lobby. And they show, like, all these places look like they've been ransacked by a hurricane or something. People are showing their rooms and the hallway to get to their rooms. It's just unfinished.
And on
top, tools
and on
stuff
top of
everywhere.
That.
It's crazy.
On top of all that, the cost of food and just regular goods, my man tweeted, I paid $55 for a turkey sandwich, some chips, and some water.
Damn! How they killing them? Yo, somebody else tweeted a photo of some kind of sauce they had with their food. Had a big ass roach in it, just sleeping inside the sauce.
Oh, yo, you can't
yo,
trust the Russian. Yo, come on,
go,
man.
You don't trust the Russian.
Yo, man.
Go look at this
yo,
Twitter
man.
Handle,
Rocky
everybody
told
out
us
there.
Years ago, B.
It's at Sochi Problems, and you'll see everybody's like atting this thing with photos of the stuff that's going awry in their room, and if they have a room, and in their hotels, and the water. Which is some yellowish color. It's crazy. I don't understand how people are going to survive that long over there, long enough to have Olympics. All right, but look, what we've been talking about a lot offline prior to the show, we were having a big conversation about the whole Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito saga because new twists have come out this week in this story. Now, the Miami Dolphins have lifted Richie Incognito's suspension, which really doesn't mean much because he's about to be a free agent. So they're just letting him loose to probably let him loose.
Now, the Big Lead, which is a site, I believe. Who's the Big Lead under? I want to give them their props. Is it USA Today? I think it's USA Today. If not, my bad. The Big Lead got a hold of over 1,000 text messages between these two guys and put them right out on the internet. So we kind of got to see how these guys interact with each other. And truthfully, fellas, in my opinion, Jonathan Martin is not coming off looking too good in this because, you know, the whole thing was about bullying. Yo, if you look at these text messages, first of all, if you look at the volume, the sheer volume of the text messages shows you that these dudes were damn near besties because, you know, outside of business, dudes don't, especially one-on-one, dudes don't tweet each other this much. These dudes were damn near best friends. So, like you were saying to me offline, Jimmy, now, and B. Austin too, now I see why, when this all happened, why the team kind of took Richie Incognito's side, because they're probably looking at us like, damn, those two were like butt buddies on the team. So how are you going to throw them under the bus like that? What did you guys think about some of these text messages?
This made the whole story, it made it sad, yo, because it's obvious that they were, you know, close friends. Like, some of the jokes, like, yo, it's funny because the closer you are as men, the way men, like, show how close they are is by disrespecting each other. Like, but it's like, this is just completely sad, man. Like, they had over 1,000 text messages, and they're joking and talking about everything. They're talking about talking about lifting weights and watching games. Like, these are like two homies having a conversation, and, yo, for him to turn on him and get him to have him thrown under the bus like that, yo, this is terrible.
Got him suspended from his job. He missed four weeks of pay. It's crazy.
Yo, I can't even read the whole thing, man. I had to turn away like when Tony killed my mind.
Yeah, he sold him out, and it goes back to what one of the things that Jimmy always says, half in jest, but for real, you can't trust a black man with no facial hair, man. You can't. Like, yo, this dude has decided he does not want to play football. It's not his twist. He's not man enough. He doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to handle it. So he devised an exit plan. And I believe with his parents being high-powered attorneys and him having legal counsel, I think he consulted his legal team, and they decided this is your best exit strategy. And the best exit strategy they came up with is throwing his best friend on the team under the bus. And I even think they went as far as to say, well, it's Richie Incognito. Look at his history. We'll be able to get this to fly because Richie has a checkered past. He's had some struggles. So we'll just throw him under the bus and keep it moving. We'll sue the league. We'll capitalize on the softness and androgyny of society, which is,
damn,
you can't bully anyone. Everyone must be friends. Let girls and boys play football together. Yo, it's obvious. And with that, they decided to make this move, and it was an exit strategy, and it was at the cost of Richie Incognito, man. Yo, hashtag free Richie, yo.
Yo, and this, yo, I mean, if you read the transcript of these texts, it's just a never-ending cycle of, we going to get these yams tonight. Did you hit that? What restaurant we going to? We going to the club? What happened to the joint with the big tie-ties? Did you hit that? Like 65 times was
they classify women as either randoms or hookers. Like, yo, would you do with some chicks? You talk about the hooks or the randoms? Fuck, like, is a random.
Yo,
a random and a hook.
Yo, a random, a hook is a regular, and a random is just a scallywag that you came up on. Yo, the conversation sounds like, to be honest, it sounds like us in college.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Because they're professional athletes, you know, they still live that type of life. But
and they do talk trash to each other. But it's both of them talking trash back and forth, and that's the thing about, yo. Like I was telling y'all last week, if they publish our group text messages, yo, we have a whole new image. Let's just put it that way.
One of us getting arrested for bullying.
We're getting arrested for some other stuff.
Yo, man, it's just out of control. Like, reading this, I told you,
all persecuted groups would ban us, including black people.
Yo, man, listen,
we're black.
Yo, it's crazy because, I really felt sad reading this, yo. It felt like when Rico shot Mitch, man, like, this was terrible,
yeah.
man. Like, he sold his brother out, man. This is Nino G Money type stuff right here, man. He's a sellout, man,
yeah.
yo. And the thing is, when
I felt it, though.
After the
I told you from the jump street.
Yeah, but we ain't know it was this, though. We knew that the bull was getting railroaded, but not like this. Like, we ain't know they was that close. And it's funny, though, because like Dev said, this shows you why his team reacted the way they did. What's also interesting about this whole thing, man, is, yo, what's going to happen from this point on? Like, is Richie going to be free, as you say? Are we going to free Richie or because he's kind of ruined now.
The problem with him forever.
The
problem with that situation is this one more quasi-mark on his record now. I think he will be vindicated, but Richie ain't no spring chicken in football terms. Richie's like our age. Well, he's about 32, 33. So this takes away a certain measure of his career when dude was kind of stepping back into Pro Bowl form. This crops up. Like, if anybody on that Dolphins O-line was doing anything positive, it was him. And so I think that, man, this is messed up, man.
Definitely messed up, man. And we'll talk about it some more later. I feel inside the war room coming on. Because we're talking about the old dudes, they're no spring chickens, but let's talk about some younger dudes that we might see in the NFL, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years. National Signing Day was just upon us, and we have Fred Perdue of HeavyInTheGames.com, our college football expert, in the war room with us to talk a little bit about any notable names, who signed where, and who had the best classes. Fred, you're in the war room. You there?
What's going on, fellas?
Fred,
how y'all doing?
What's up, man? What's going on?
I'm good over here, man. I'm good. National Signing Day was very, very good to me. Very, very good to me.
All right, let us know what happened. What big names went to what places?
Wow, it was a lot of great players, a lot of guys that might be a lot of impact guys. Alabama, obviously, they win the recruiting battle again. A very noticeable stat that I actually came across yesterday, of the top 15 position rankings of all positions across the board that Alabama has had, every five-star player that they have recruited since Nick Saban has been there has become a first-round pick. That in itself tells me enough about Nick Saban. And if you are within that top 15 ranking at your position, you will at least be a first or second-round pick. That, again, it tells the power of Nick Saban. Nick Saban ended up pulling in the most five-star players again, six, when the next best was two. The last time I checked, it was two. That really is huge when pulling in the top defensive end, the top offensive tackle, a couple of the top tight ends and receivers. Nick Saban really pulled in a great group, as well as they pulled in one of the top quarterbacks right out of the backyard of Oklahoma in David Cornwell, 6'5", 260 pounds. This guy really – he reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger a little bit. I don't think he'll get a chance to start early, but I really think he has a chance to be that guy that if Alabama chooses to go with a more of a passing game going forward, I think he has a chance to be kind of special. Alabama has lacked that really great quarterback since Nick Saban's been there. They have that game manager, whoever you want to take in, A.J. McCarron, John Parker Wilson, Greg McElroy, whoever you pick. They're all game. They're really ultimately game managers. They're not guys that you want slinging the ball 30 times a game.
Fred, let me ask you a question, the important question. How much is Nick Saban paying these guys?
I'm joking.
But
I'm still wondering.
But here's my real question. My real question is this, though. Is that something that he can just, like, let's just say he gets offered a gazillion dollars from USC, for argument's sake. Is that something that he can just go to any school and bring with him, or is it still because it's Alabama and because that team's history, or is it Saban himself? Like, could he just translate that? Could he go to Temple, for say, like, in the middle of Philly and just have the same level of recruiting.
I won't say Temple, but if he did go on to a school like USC, whether it was USC, Texas, Alabama, where LSU, those
so,
type of
so
schools,
it has to be another big-time program.
It has to be a big program. Simply put, when you have a big-time program, that name resonates. And also, you can play football year-round in the South.
Is it more
why would
of the program,
want,
or is it more of Saban is what I'm trying to get to. Like, how much of this is him?
It is more Saban. Saban is a grinder. He's one of those guys that he's constantly looking to get the next great recruit. He's also looking to replace the next guy. If you are a guy that, let's say you get injured, he's looking to replace you. Simply put, if you can't help his football team, he has no use for you to be just sitting on a roster spot. Simply put, Saban is a guy that he runs his team. He runs a tight ship, talking to a couple players at Alabama, former players and current guys. He cares about his players, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, he is all about winning championships.
Understood.
Outside of Alabama, who they racked up the best overall class, a couple notable classes, Florida State. A guy that I actually had a chance to deal with throughout the last couple of years in Javon Harrison. They picked him up, four-star wide receiver from my area in Lakeland, Florida, Kathleen High School. I got to give a big shout-out to him. He was committed to Virginia Tech for the last year and a half and ended up flipping at the last minute. Jimbo Fisher and that national championship team in Florida State, really, they racked up a great deal of players. They racked up three of the top best receivers in Florida, as well as one of the best running backs in the state of Florida, a 1,000-yard back in Dalvin Cook, Travis Rudolph at wide receiver, as well as Ermon Lane from down in South Florida. Florida State doesn't have a lot of depth at receiver, so because of the NFL draft, so that really helps them out. Those guys will end up getting a chance to start early. They racked up defensive and offensive line help due to all the departures, and whether it was guys leaving early or guys being seniors and just having their scholarships were expired. Florida State really was the school that I really liked a lot. From a depth perspective, they are just racking up talent again. Like the great teams, they don't rebuild, they reload. And that's what Florida State is doing.
So they're widening the gap between them and the U. So the U will still be behind Florida State next year.
Ultimately, and I had a chance to take a look at Miami's recruiting class, and that was my next one to go at. I'm not really as many Miami Hurricane fans were very excited about this class, and it was the highest ranking class in the Al Golden era. And his classes haven't been terrible as far as ranking, but they're rankings at the end of the day. When guys don't produce and guys aren't getting on the field, those rankings mean absolutely nothing. Right now, Al Golden had a top 10 class. His average class has been 11, and that's not really saying much because a lot of those guys haven't really produced outside of the last couple of years. The only really big-time names we've heard are Duke Johnson, running back, and Tracy Howard, cornerback, who those guys have a shot at the NFL, but Miami really has to come back, and they've really done that right now with this class. I do like what I saw from them when they recruited their quarterback position in Brad Kaya, who, by the way, his mom is actually the person that played Felicia in Friday, which is something interesting for me.
Felicia was a crackhead, right?
yes. His mom portrayed Felicia in Friday. That was very interesting, but Brad Kaya is a pretty good player.
So his mom a crack cinema.
We're not going to go there. And last but not least, USC, even with all the situations they've had with scholarships, that is one class I really am interested in seeing. Coach Sarkisian out there now, and Coach O came in and just racked up a bunch of guys as well, most notably Juju Smith, Damian Mama, and a guy that I really like in I like on the defensive line as well. USC really, they're showing that they still are the power team in Los Angeles, and that while UCLA is building, they don't have that brand that USC has, because USC is like your Alabamas, your Florida State. They're just that national brand.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see if all of these guys produce on the field come next year and the next 2 years, but we are sure that you'll let us know because that's what you do.
Fred, no character issues, no quitting on the play, quitting on the field type stuff.
Come on, man, we don't have time. time for that. We don't have time
for
high
schoolers, man.
By the way, one last recruit to make sure you watch out for at LSU. His name's Leonard Fournette. He's being compared to Adrian Peterson right now, 6'1", 225, pretty good speed, and he has a chance to start coming in as a freshman.
Big-ass young boy. Okay. All right, man. It sounds like it was an interesting signing day, but like I said, we'll keep an eye on these cats. You'll let us know how they're progressing throughout their freshman seasons, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Make sure you follow me on Twitter.
All right, Fred, take it easy.
All right, guys.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Make sure you guys
at Purdue Sports.
Make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at FPurdueSports, as well as follow me at HeavyInTheGames.com. I'll be following the rest of signing day. Signing day just is one day, but it really the period hasn't really ended. It's just one celebrated day. The period actually isn't over for the next couple of weeks. A couple of guys will be signing later.
All right. We got to get the bum signed, too.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right,
Brett.
All right.
No. All right, Brett.
All right, and we got to go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline because we've had some calls holding for a while. We're going to go to Jonathan in the D.C. area. Jonathan, what's going on, man? Sorry to keep you holding.
Dude, it's all good. How's everyone this evening?
Pretty good. How are you, man?
Oh, man, living. I just had a couple things. One of the things I want to touch on, I was the whole Jonathan Martin and was it Rich Incognito
Richie.
Situation?
Incognito.
Incognito, thank you. The person who said something about the parents, the lawyers, like stuff, you need to go ahead and do something, pat on the back. That's the first thing I said out my mouth when I found the boy's kids, parents, were lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about money, folks. That's all it's about. Because if they're buddies, why would he throw his money under the bus like that?
Yeah.
It's all about money. Yeah, he probably just didn't want
football
and rolled up.
Yeah. I just don't understand it, man. Looking at these messages, I'm like, yo, this is just two homies talking. This is, you know, what they do.
Exactly.
And it's turned into something that it shouldn't have turned into. But what else you got?
Oh, the other thing, too. I don't know if you guys talk about this, but what's up with these fickle fans complaining about Peyton Manning now saying he's not that, he doesn't deserve first billing, he's not as good as everyone thinks he is, blah, 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 blah. Are they taking a shot at Seattle's defense? They didn't realize Seattle had one of the best defenses ever to play. I mean, am I right or wrong?
That's a great point because everybody – I mean, you know it, man. You hear the people talk beforehand. People were waiting for Peyton Manning to fail so they can say this stuff. Most of the people that you hear say that, if Peyton Manning was to come to their team, you know, they'd love the dude. But –
exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody who's talking like that is definitely slighting Seattle's defense because we talked about it on our webcast the other day. There was nobody, no team, no quarterback in the league who were going to beat the Seattle Seahawks that night. Nobody.
No.
I don't care who you are.
No.
Nobody.
In value of ranking defenses. Now, people like to say, oh, they're going too far. You're going to rank them with the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. Or in some cases now, the 2002, it was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I keep hearing that now.
Yeah.
But my question is, why not? They were that good. I mean, no.
I mean, we've been pondering that question ourselves. And, yeah, later on in the show, we were going to hit on that and see, you know, I was going to get the fellas' thoughts on where they might rank them if they indeed think this is an all-time defense. They definitely had an all-time performance
right.
In the Super Bowl. But, you know, when you sit back and think about it, it's not the first time that they play like this. They've been playing pretty well all year, and they definitely saved their best for last. So it's definitely a question. It's not one of those things, you know, how people like to say, is this even a question? It's a question. It's debatable,
right.
You know, whether they're up there with some of those teams. So, yeah, that's definitely a good point. Definitely a good point.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you guys hit on the button, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to chat. Oh, my colleague, he tapped me on my shoulder. He said one more question. He wants to know if any of those team members were to leave that Seattle team, would they be able to find success elsewhere? I think that's a good question. Would they be successful in another team, like a Sherman with a Jacksonville team or Earl Thomas and any other Jets or something? Will they be successful, or do you think they're better collectively?
That's definitely a good question. I think they're better collectively. I mean, it sounds a little cliche, but you hear everybody talk about everybody who's interviewed these guys. They talk about how close they are, and, you know, it's a little cliche to say these guys are family, but they really do like each other. You know, they just don't go to work and work together. So collectively, I mean, there's a few people on the team that will probably go anywhere and be pretty good. You know, your Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas,
Earl Thomas.
That. But I think the greatness of this defense is in the collection.
But you know what? It also depends upon exactly where they go to. Like, there's so many variables with that question. Like you said, Jacksonville just throwing a team out there. Gus Bradley, who's the head coach at Jacksonville, he drafted most of those guys. He was a defensive coordinator in Seattle from like 09 up until he got the Jacksonville job, which was like last year. So, you know. They run the same system, believe it or not. It's just that Jacksonville doesn't have the same players yet. But he's trying to build the same way down there. So he's responsible for a lot of these guys being with Seattle to begin with. So I guess it all depends upon where they go. You know what I mean? Because each team has their own system. And football is the consummate team sport. Like Dev said, the collection of these guys on one team made them special. In terms of just having success, though, I think it all depends upon, you know, what situation they fall into.
The two players came out and said they'll take less money to stay on that team. Golden Tate said that today.
That probably answers
and,
the question
Michael
right
Bennett.
There. Like, if you know what's Golden that? Tate, you know. Yeah, and Golden Tate is saying that it's not like people are going to be kicking down his door offering him money anyway, so he better take that pay cut.
I think most of the players on that defense would be pretty good standalone. I think if you look at the front four, a lot of those guys on that front four have had a measure of success in other places
and kind of reached
the middle of their prime. Yeah, Cliff Averill being a standout example. I think Wagner would be an example of a guy that would do well. But, yeah, collectively, it's the perfect storm. It's the perfect storm.
Right.
And Jonathan, man, thank you for the call. Fail to the dead chin.
No problem.
We appreciate your support.
I do that, John, before you go, let's get an early season prediction. What do you think about your own team next year?
Oh, next year,
14-2.
Wow, let's see, man. They got $30 million and $20 million in salary money. Dan Snyder's going to blow it on top overranked player because now he has a yes-sir coach. I don't see us doing that next year. Yes,
okay,
I
respect
it.
That.
I said it.
Okay.
I don't see us doing that next year.
I just want to get that
Dan
on the record. That's
not
all,
doing, until you get a full – this is just my thoughts. Until you get a GM, a full football GM, there's nothing else to talk about.
No doubt. Sound like the Cowboys.
Yeah. Who is that?
No doubt. No, who was that? All right, well, Jonathan, man, thanks for your call, man. We really appreciate it.
All right,
man.
Brothers. Y'all take care, man.
All right.
Take it easy, good brother.
All right, brother.
All right, cool. So, you know, actually, we're going to get back on some of those topics a little bit later. But, you know, Jimmy, it's time to talk some hoops, man. Let's talk some hoops.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick. Before we get to NBA rap, let me ask you guys a question real quick, man. Y'all trying to take a trip next year to Sochi or no?
No. Yo, and the funny thing is, my wife was reading stuff to me and said that Sochi is considered a resort town. It seems like they didn't have enough resorts for what they were trying to do.
They just backed the truck up to get that Olympic money. That's what that was. They didn't invest none of that back.
Putin took that.
Anyway, man, let's talk some hoops, though. Before we get into this NFL season recap, let's jump into some hoops talk. You know we love basketball. It's this thing of ours. The NBA Wrap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. That's easy. Go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the Fanatics logo. You can, you know, get you some gear, man. NFL, NBA. Want to buy a hockey T-shirt? Go ahead and do that. Baseball season is fast approaching. Get you some MLB gear. You want to support, you know, a college team? Do that. Do that. Shout out them all. Your gear week. Anyway, man, let's jump right into the hoops, good brother.
Yo, and one thing before I forget, shout out to JT and the crew over at Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio out in Chicago.
Yo, that pop.
We had the you know, the Sunday night wager this year, just like we had the Monday night wager 2 years ago. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Chicago Bears, so this time they had to pay up. And, brother, we have received the Garrett's popcorn. The two deep dish pizzas came today, so we got to find a way to cook that up and split it up amongst the brothers, and we can't wait to do that. So shout out to those guys out there in Chicago. All right, let's talk some hoops.
True. Yeah, man. Yo, man, that popcorn is something special, yo. It's the best thing. Yo, that's the best thing to ever come out of Chicago, yo.
Yeah, it might be awesome, yo, like, Garrett's popcorn. Four kernels. It's like four kernels there for you.
Let's get that popcorn.
All right, so.
Yo, man,
where,
anyway,
where are we,
man,
at?
Let's jump into some basketball. By the way, we were Curtis Blow. That's a dope song. You know, we do love basketball, but your lyrics is weak. Anyway,
no bar.
NBA players of the week were Paul Millsap and Dev's favorite name to pronounce.
Goran Dragic.
Yo.
Yo, I put that down. Remember, Paul Millsap was last week. It's Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, right? You're right. Paul Millsap was last week. The underrated Paul Millsap, but it's Goran Dragic. Who is Dev's homie?
Yeah,
but let's talk about Kyle Lowry, because Kyle Lowry gets disrespected left and right all across the league. Yo, what's going on, man? It's like, did they blackball my man Kyle Lowry or what?
Man, did you see last night? Did you see the 3-point shot,
man,
that
he hit?
Yo, they said he Reggie Miller, the dude. Called a
somebody point
foul.
Shaving, yo.
He runs up.
Yo,
he wasn't even that angry. He ran away from the ref, but you know the refs think when you run away from him, you're trying to show him up. He didn't, you know, run, hop around, look angry. He just was getting his bearings, ran down the court. The ref told him to keep going because you've just been ejected from the game. Like, yo, why are they treating my man? Why are they treating the homeboy like that, man? From Philly.
Yo, what made it funny is, like, Tim Donaghy, and we all know what Tim Donaghy is notorious for. Yo, he even tweeted, like, yo, that was a questionable call.
And that my man know all about questionable calls. He knows all about questionable calls.
It's crazy, man. Right. Like, yo, I've heard, like, from people on the inside. That's right, I got some inside sources. That amongst, like, the coaches and things, they don't like him. They call him sort of like a guy who questions his coaches. And, you know, coaches like guys who are coachable just going to listen and not question what they say. But
right.
It seems like, yo, he got shafted for the All-Star game. They're making all kinds of questionable calls on my man. And yet he's having a tremendous season.
Right. Right. He seems like one of those guys to me who's going to put up these crazy type numbers, but he's never going to be coveted around the league as one of the top point guards. And that's probably unfair, and it probably has a lot to do with what you're saying, Jim. But last week, Kyle Lowry led the Raptors to a 3-1 record. He scored 25 points a game, 8 assists, 2.3 steals. He's balling. He's just balling right now. And on the other side of things, my man Goran Dragic, did I say that right? I think I might have said it right this time.
No,
he averaged 26.8 points per game, 8 assists, he was tied for 8th in assists. He averaged 26.8 a game, 6 assists, and the Suns went 4-0 last week, and 3 of those victories came on the road. The funny thing about it is, I think, and this is what we're going to talk about in a minute anyway, but these are two of the most surprising teams in the league, the Toronto Raptors and the Phoenix Suns. So they have these two surprising players doing work, and they finally got recognized for it as the NBA Players of the Week. Real quick before we go on to the next topic, I do also have the NBA Players of the Month. And, of course, one is Kevin Durant, and the other is Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony led the whole Eastern Conference in scoring for the month of January, 28.7 points per game, 9 rebounds, played a lot of minutes, 37.7 minutes per game. The Knicks were 10-6 in the month. He shot 50% from the field. He had He made 44 three-pointers just in 1 month. So Carmelo's been balling. He's been on a scoring spree. But then you have Durant over there in the Western Conference doing the same damn thing. But he led the whole NBA in scoring at 35.9 points per game in the month of January. 1.6 steals per game. We got Kevin Durant playing a little more defense than you're used to. And he shot 55% from the field, and the Thunder went 13-4 in the month of January. So shout out to Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant. Probably, no, it's a fact. They're the two best scorers in the NBA right now. And, you know, they put that on display for the whole month of January. So shout out to those brothers.
Yeah, shout out to them, man. Anyway, man. Yo, because what they're doing right now is just comical, man. Not that the NBA is that competitive night in and night out, but you still got to put the numbers up. Anyway, another big story in the world of basketball. I was just reading about this gentleman in Bloomberg Weekly, because I do read that. Step your game up. David Stern steps down.
I
want to bring up is what's his impact on the National Basketball Association and also just sports in general. What are you guys' thoughts on the one David Stern?
I think amongst the, I don't want to call him casual because, you know, still a lot of basketball fans that you know, they're a little more than casual, but they may not pay attention to the business side of things that much. So there's a lot of fans of that ilk who go around basically complaining and bashing David Stern. But like I said about Roger Goodell last week, I think fans are just programmed to do that. I think, you know, they see everyone else doing it, so I think they think they're supposed to bash who's ever the commissioner in any sports league. But to tell the truth, you know, throughout his tenure as commissioner, like, David Stern has made this thing of ours, at least on the money side of things, he's made it into a financial cash cow. When mm-hmm. he took over the NBA, the average player salary was $250,000. Now the average player salary is over $5 million. So, I mean, we know the years of inflation, you know, has something to do with it. But, you know, a lot of work that he did, it's a big part of that in there as well. I mean, think about it, because in my opinion, skill level has gone way down. But
you
still come here and get paid.
So
yeah, you can still come
question,
in here and get crazy
is,
paid and can't even play.
And Dev, that's kind of where I feel about his legacy overall, because initially, I've been on record as saying I think he's the best commissioner in all of sports, but when I start to I said I read that article, and you hear him talk about some of the things he regrets, and also when you just look back on everything he's done now that he's walking away and you look at everything in totality, it's like I have mixed feelings now, because part of the fact of the matter is he made it very, very profitable, but at the same time he kind of watered down the talent and skill level by expanding the league the way he did. Some of his decisions have to be questioned. He made a lot of questions with the whole thing with New Orleans and how he handled that situation with the league having to take back the team, the move into Memphis, the move of the team out of Seattle. It's like there are a lot of decisions that he made that have to be questioned, but there's a lot of positive. And then when you look at the positive, there's a thing like that you have to look at, which a lot of people don't bring up, which is timing. He took over the league in which Magic and Bird were coming in, and then Jordan right after that. As a matter of fact, he was working for the league under Magic and Bird, and then when Michael came in, he became the head guy. So it's like it's perfect timing. Not only that, you look at the timing of him being able to work with ESPN as they came about, and also NBC Sports as they came about. It was like perfect timing for him. So he gets credit for a lot of things, which he should, but there are a lot of things that he just happened to be the right guy at the right time. You know what I mean? Like, he fell into a lot of things, like the whole Nike and Michael Jordan craze, the whole NBC basketball, you know. I think the guy, what's his name, Dick Enberg, who started the whole NBC Sports thing, and the whole ESPN wave, and he wrote it, I mean, to his credit.
You know, he also
a lot of times
in
sports,
that strategy to
basically
advantage of the stuff that he fell into. Like, hey, let's market these
players. And this is true, because one of the biggest strategies and one of the biggest impacts he's had in sports, in my opinion, is he came up with the concept of marketing the individual player as opposed to the team. So now when you look at every team in the league, there's at least one guy that stands out. That was a David Stern strategy. Now, I've also heard people criticize him for that, and they were saying that football kind of took the other approach, although you're marketing quarterbacks now where you market the team and not the player, which is why the Super Bowl, regardless of who's in it, is a success, and the NBA Finals just isn't that way. You know what I mean? Like, as good as say the Spurs and the Pacers are, the NBA doesn't want them in the finals, and they might be the two best teams in basketball. So
You need LeBron versus Durant. Oh. Like, nobody wants to see those good teams. You want to see the great players.
Nobody wants to see ball movement. Who wants to see
ball
movement?
And he's programmed fans
defense
to think that way. Exactly. He's programmed the fans to think that way.
There's a level of violence with football that replaces some of the things that we would have looked at as being uncivilized in society. So it's violent, and it appeals to everybody. And I hear what you guys are saying. I think that it's important to remember that the commissioner of any league is an employee of ownership. And so if I look at it in a vacuum and understanding business acumen as we all do, I have to say that David Stern is probably the most successful commissioner ever for what he set out to do and accomplish, you know, for ownership and for his employers. Now, if I look at him from a fan perspective, if I look at him from a basketball purist perspective, then I join some of the points that you've made, Jimmy. I totally agree with, because he's watered down the product. It's pure capitalism, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but if you look at it and compare and contrast it to another huge industry, which is the drug game, finding a way to take a pure product and stretch it out, he's stretched out basketball. He stretched it out and made it appeal to the casual fan, and it has to have appeal to that casual fan and be able to stretch, because basketball in its purest form would only be interesting to guys like us.
At the end of the day, that's why I'm up every night watching a bunch of baking soda on the court putting up nonsense shots.
But to your point, even
if you want to use that analogy, there's only so far you can stretch it, man, before someone goes and gets a product somewhere else. But with that being said, they're able to operate the monopoly that they do. So I guess he can do that.
Well, that's why FIBA, that's actually the advances, maybe some of the advances that you see in international basketball and international play. Just real quick, on David Stern's reign, in 84, the league was doing $165 million in revenue. In 2013, $5.5 billion. Average player salary was $290 in 84. It's $5.7 million in 2013. The TV deal in 84, the TV deal was $28.5 million. In 2013, it's $937 million. Merchandising sales went from $35 million to $3 billion. And in 84, they were in two countries. In 2013, they're in 215 countries.
Now, here's the one thing.
They haven't had offices in, like, six countries around the world.
When you compare him to other commissioners, the one advantage he did have is, I don't know if any commissioner that stays in any spot for 30 years.
Yeah.
That could be a challenge too, because he
I think it's definitely become a challenge.
And the current owners don't give a f about David Stern. Like the current,
and that's a good point. That's why part of me, and I've heard other people make this argument as well. Because I saw a lot of talk about David Stern with him leaving. And, again, like, I read a lot of articles. And some of the arguments being made is that he should have left maybe 5 or 10 years ago, because a lot of the newer owners, they're not the ones who put him in power.
Right.
You use Mark Cuban as an example, because most people know about their relationship. And they said David Stern kind of became like a tyrant. He got so much power that when a guy like Mark Cuban would have an idea to bring to him to help the league, he would just shut him down before even hearing it, because – he was so powerful with his tenure that he didn't have to hear it, you know. So we want to see what Adam Silver does. But according to what I read, a lot of the Adam Silver things are already in place. His idea in terms of like those new shirts, which most people don't like, with the short sleeve shirts.
If that's indicative of what Adam Silver brings to the table, it's time to get rid of Adam Silver.
No, but here's why. Adam Silver says his job coming in is strictly revenue. It's not even about the bettering of the game. It's like, yo, so you're going to see them sleeves introduced because, let's just say, like, you know, Dev wants to go out. He's not going to wear a jersey no more. And they recognize that, you know, Jay-Z killed Jersey. So now you wear a T-shirt, you know, the same one that the guy's playing. You know what I'm saying? And also, that's more sleeves. So guess what? You're going to start seeing Sprite logos, little, you know, Farmers-only logos on the sleeves.
You're going to start looking like FIBA uniforms.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're going to start looking like soccer and whatnot. So
I mean,
that's the idea
behind that.
They're trying
to globalize the game. Like I said,
they have international
offices in Barcelona, Hong Kong, London, Melbourne, Mexico City, Paris, Singapore, Taiwan, Tokyo, and Toronto. All have NBA.
Yo, I was watching this documentary. You know, Netflix has a gazillion documentaries. So I don't even know what name of it was, but it was on basketball. Just look up basketball documentaries. Yo, and they were like in some third world country, cousin. Yo, it's like kids playing hoops. Yo, they don't even have sneaks, though, B. They out there barefoot in the middle of traffic shooting hoops because they love basketball. It's amazing to see how across the world basketball is just loved. We love football so much, and when you talk to people online who aren't from America, they don't give a S about football. They be like, no one cares.
Yeah, they don't care.
We love it so much, we adore football so much, and we talk about our bowl like it's the be-all, end-all. But, you know, if you're a worldly citizen, nobody cares about football but us.
Kill it. Soccer is killing. Jimmy, I want to ask you a question.
They feel disrespected when we call it football, B. Austin.
Oh, yeah. Soccer is winning. I want to ask you guys both a question about the game being stepped on and the amount of baking soda that's been added to the product. Real talk. Is that going to eventually be the downfall of the game? Is that eventually – because, like, football, you can see we've actually come up with a plausible case where football could disappear. In 20 years, in 40 years, football could go away. But with the international appeal of basketball, do you see it being stepped on to a point where you've got guys that really have no skill and it's just all about athleticism and baking soda as opposed to the raw, uncut fish scale? Do you think that will have an effect?
I mean, I think it's already having an effect, in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But this is coming from a guy who's a hoops junkie. If I had to name my favorite sport, it wouldn't be football, it would be basketball. But I can see it having an effect, but I don't think – see, the thing about the game of basketball is that everyone relates to it. Everyone has played basketball, boy, girl, whatever. Uh-huh. You've picked up a ball. You've shot a hoop. Like, yo, everyone can't play football. Like, there are a lot of people who are adults that have never played organized football. But, yo, you've played basketball, even if you're just joking around. I mean, and even baseball. Uh-huh. When you look at basketball – other than boxing, because boxing is probably, you know, you slap boxing, I mean, all that. But other than that, yo, so it's a beautiful game. Everybody loves the game of basketball. It's a better live game than football. But your point about it being stepped on and being so bad, I think it's already affecting the game. I would love to see Silver somehow create his legacy by, you know, imploding some of these teams. We made a joke on Court Vision the other day, like how good would the team be if they combined, like, you know, who was it, Minnesota?
And Sacramento.
They could have a good team. Like, I think they really need to start doing that because it's very well. There are guys in the league that shouldn't be in the league, yo.
They're not players. That's real talk. That's real talk. There are non NBA players, and Dev, you always say this, so I'm interested in your answer. As we go through and surf the channel, and we always invest in the ticket and watching all of these games. There used to be a time where you could name every player on a roster, you remembered his collegiate career, and you knew what he was good at. Even if he was stuck on the bench, you're like, well, he's not going to see the floor, but I know why he's here. There are guys now where you're like, yo, he's not good. He's not good.
No, that's
outside of the why.
That's definitely the case. Like you said, we could do all of that. And we were just doing it to be doing it. Now we cover the game and still don't know who half of these people are. Seriously, not even to make a joke, on my monitor right now, I'm watching this Cincinnati and UConn game, and I see why, like, the level of skill in the NBA is where it is. Like, this game is so wild. you know, dudes shooting the side of the backboard. It's crazy.
But everybody
out there, everybody on the court right now can jump out of the gym. That's all that's important.
Yes.
Athleticism.
But I'm going to tell you what's crazy. B. Austin, that it has to happen.
Oh, go ahead.
Because it's as bad as it's making the NBA. It's like, yo, there has to be like a meeting of the basketball minds in general, because they have to work together in terms of the NCAA and basketball. AAU, even high school, like it has to be, you know, some sort of system put in place, because it's out of control now. It's out of control.
See, but Jimmy, that's the question I was going to ask you when you were talking about Stern and him expanding the game. I really doubt that, you know, when he was expanding the game, he thought about a potential negative in the fact that you're going to be stretching all the talent. I don't think he was sitting back thinking that the talent pool was going to keep getting slimmer and slimmer, you know, more shallow every season.
I honestly don't think he cared. I don't think he even cared.
As long as he got the
like
revenue.
B. Austin says, the one thing that we always forget, including myself, is, yo, he works for the owners. People don't get that when it comes to a lot of these commissioners.
Yeah.
Your job is to make them money. And under David Stern, let's keep it real, everybody made money. It's like, yo, what's the point of having a godfather, yo? Anybody who works with him is going to make some bread. Like, every owner made money. The players made money.
I agree with
he
you.
He made plenty of money.
I don't think he would care either way. But at the same time, I find it difficult to believe that it was even a thought. Like, yo, there's going to be a lot of bums in the league. And the product's going to be terrible. I think they're like, look, let's expand this league, make this money. And I don't think anybody even thought about the talent level, because at the time the league was talented.
I got to agree with Dev. I got to agree with Dev, and I'm going to piggyback on something that you're saying. With the expansion of the league, there's no way that David Stern could have saw the commercializing of the game, because now you look at where the brand for an individual player starts, and it's starting younger and younger. It's almost pre-high school now where we start branding cats. And so when you have these ultra-talented and ultra-athletic kids come to these camps or these AAU situations, or call it what it is, the Adidas teams and the Nike Youth Elite Leagues and stuff, they're not coming together to be teams. They're coming together to showcase their individual talent in a team environment to see who can get 20, who can get 27 and 8 out of this team environment of all-stars while we're not really working on team concepts. So you have guys that can get the ball in an isolation situation and do all sorts of neat moves and get to the rack and score one-on-one or jump out of the gym, but the actual ebb and flow of the game, it's not there, which is why the rule changes had to happen to keep the ball moving, because without those rule changes, the skill level and the team concepts have been lost. So I think that David Stern never saw the erosion of skill and talent in his mind. He couldn't, because he couldn't see social media and branding, personal branding, being what it is in 2014. He couldn't
see past that cloud of money.
I hear you, B. Austin. He couldn't see past
that cloud of dollars.
What's the economist's name? Milton Friedman, who said, "Listen, man, a company's job is just to make money, and that's it. Everything else doesn't matter as long as you're making money." So, I mean, I think that Stern took that approach, because that's why, like, his level of success has to be applauded, because everybody, the game got bigger, the game became more popular, everybody got rich. But for purists like us, you know, we see a different side of it, and that's what makes the whole argument about his legacy difficult. Because, I mean, even the situation we just brought up with the one-and-done rule, like, that it's like he's leaving somebody. I mean, they're put it like this. There's work to be done for the new guy coming in. There's work to be done. Something has to be done with how the relationship between the colleges and this one-and-done rule, whether they pay the players. I don't know what the answer is. No one's come up with, like, a great proposal as of yet, but something has to be done. So his legacy is a great legacy.
The world.
The world in general
is always about making things easier and making things more accessible. And I think that even though it's still tremendously hard to become a professional athlete, I think we make it too easy for those who have the talent and skill sets and athleticism to make it. We make it too easy for them, and so they don't develop. That's why you got a lot of kids that come into the league and they're just not developed. The talent is there, sure, but it's bad for the game, man. It's bad for the game.
Yeah. I mean, this is true. This is true. And the thing is, though, maybe shout out David Stern, man, because I mean, Lord knows how much bread he got. And you brought up the best point, though, B. Austin, that he works for the owners. People forget that about Roger Goodell as well. Like, he works for the owners. It's the reason Roger Goodell got, like, a $30 million-plus bonus because they enjoyed the work that he did for them. and they compensated him very well for it. So keep that in mind when you're talking about these commissioners of who they work for. Speaking of Roger Goodell, let's get ready to talk some football. We need someone to tell people how to get in touch with us before we jump to football. Last thing Roger I want to say about basketball is make sure you check out Court Vision on warroomsportstv.com. It's a video. We did a video talking about our surprises at the midway point. And, you know, a bunch of Kevin Love slander was in that episode as well. So check our newest episode of Court Vision out. Very entertaining stuff. But before we start talking about this bowl, which we have to get out the way, please, because I don't want to talk about it anymore. Dev, how can people get in touch with us?
Real quick, and also that episode had our all-star snub, so like Jimmy said, definitely check that out. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. As a matter of fact, while you're on warroomsports.com, just go to the War Room Sports TV section and you'll see the exact video that we're talking about. But to call in and speak to us about any of today's topics, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. But if you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Now, this NFL season wrap-up is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, Palm phones, if you still got them, iPad, tablets, whatever you got, you can listen to Stitcher on it. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is too easy. Just click on that Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or you can download it to your mobile phone directly from that page. But before you do, enter the promo code The War Room when they prompt you to. That's one word, The War Room, and you'll be entered into a contest to win a cash prize. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. And to my man Jimmy's detriment, we're going to talk about this Super Bowl one more time. Just as he is, I'm kind of tired of talking about it because, frankly, when you don't have a dog in the fight and the game goes the way it went, like, that stinks. Like, I didn't wait all season for that. But it's our job to wrap it up.
Climactic.
Right. Our job is to wrap it up, so we're going to wrap it up. With all that said, though, definitely shout-out and congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks. I think they had their victory celebration today. The 12th man was out and in full effect. So congratulations to those guys for becoming Super Bowl 48 champs. And we look forward to see what they can do with that success come next season. But, fellas, one more time, let's do it for the people. Why did Super Bowl 48 go down the way that it went down? What the hell happened?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, I think it's a lot of things. I think that first play, that safety, like, changed the entire game. I know people got mad when I said that, but they don't understand the ebbs and flows of sports. It set the tone for the game, and it just changed everything.
Momentum.
First of all, I think the coin toss changed the game too, and that's because Bull was drunk up there trying to flip the coin and whatnot. But
flip it before anybody even called it.
Yeah, noodle. Because Denver likes to defer. We like having the ball after half. You know what I mean? So when that happened, I'm like, oh, that's not good. And if you watch the Broncos this season, there's a thing about them. Like, when they don't get off to a good start, it affects them. Like, the games they lost, I mean, it kind of went the same way. We're a team that works with momentum. And the momentum and also just the timing, everything seemed off. Part of me feels like a lot of the players thought all they had to do was show up. Like, they bought into, you know, being the favorite, what everybody was saying, how great they were, the history setting offense and all this, because when you watch them in the, even before the game started, they were just so that they seemed to be too loose. They seemed to be too loose. And Seattle came out and, you know, they just kicked their butt for like 2 hours. It was like, it's embarrassing, man. It was sort of like watching Cobra Kai beat up on a Karate Kid. It was like we got bullied, yo. I was out there looking for Richard Sherman to have like a satin jacket with a cobra on the back, because it was like,
yo, most exciting part was Bruno Mars, yeah.
Feels like.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now. They gave it away, all right. Man, I don't, my condolences. I felt that one of the biggest mistakes, if you believe in karma and the energy of the universe, was when our brother and former co-host, Mr. Jimmy Williams, decided to select his team and the score being 41-20. I felt that
they
Well, here's the thing, I got one thing right. I called the blowout. I just had the wrong team.
Yo, I felt bad because I picked before you and you picked last, and when you made that pick, I was like, oh man, that's not good. Even though they had the quarterback that didn't do anything or didn't have to do, they had the black Trent Dilfer. I just felt like the disrespect, man, set the tone. And then going into the game itself, I noticed the same thing that you did. They're a momentum team. Denver likes to get up. If they can get up on you 14, or 17 in the first half, their machine is going to keep rolling, and they're going to score big, and it's going to be hard to come back because you have to adjust what you do at that point. My question, you know, really, and either you can answer this, because we'll get into Seattle and the defensive side of the ball, but yo, what happened to Denver's offensive line? And that's not to say that Peyton had a good game, but yo, he owes his linemen a rumble. Like they all should.
They had a bad game. I mean, and that's the thing. A lot of times, football is such a team sport. But when you have multiple players on one side of the ball having off games, is not a good thing.
All have
because
a bad
Peyton,
game. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, Peyton
especially
didn't have a good
guys.
Game either. He,
especially the guys
Peyton
in
didn't
front.
Have a good game. The offensive line, but also, I mean, to Seattle's credit, like, yo. Yo, they seem to be moving at a different speed than Denver. Yo, it's like they were playing when they came out running. Yo, it looked like somebody was pressing the fast forward button on the TV. Like they were just moving at a different speed.
Yeah,
and like we always say, it looked like they play with about 15, 16 men on defense.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like there is no.
It's like no matter what
you
do, no matter what you do when you get trying to get them out of position, even if you're successful with getting them out of position. They swarm back to the ball so fast, you really sit there and you start counting the dudes on the field because you don't think some of that is possible. And they did what they had to do to take away any quarterback, any great quarterback, any quarterback period. You put pressure on a guy who really can't move that much, you have the advantage in the game. And they got pressure on Peyton Manning that he hadn't seen all season. Peyton
all
Manning
season.
Has a quick release, but even his quick release was no match for the pressure that he was seeing on any given play. So the pressure turned a lot of their timing routes into underneath routes where, you know, what Seattle was willing to give, a little four yards here, 5 yards there, and we make the sure tackle. That's the greatest thing about the Seattle defense, they're sure tacklers. So
they
even
practice.
When they give you that
they
underneath
tackle.
Stuff, you're not going to break tackles and make big plays off of it. You're going to go three and out because they give you the underneath and they make tackles. So
shout out to Frank from Sports Kings, because the one thing he said, which was perfectly true, he says, people want to make this whole thing about Peyton Manning. Yo, but there's nobody that would have won that game the way Seattle was playing.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who was
there.
Like
said
they played their best football at the best time. You know what I mean? Like,
at the right time.
We talk all the time about how some teams peak at different times, but they played their best ball. Like
it was
on all three phases. Special teams, they got like forget. I mean, we all saw the kick return, but when they kicked the ball to Denver, Denver didn't even make it to the 20.
Yo, their defense played historical ball at the right time.
Yo,
They play their
defense, and we wanna definitely give their defense the love it deserves for the performance. The thing that I appreciated about what they did was it was very simple. They met a complex high-powered system in Denver's offense with a very simple coverage scheme. We're going to play 40% man cover one. We're going to play about 60% cover three zone. Let all of these crossing routes happen in front of us because we know the line, the D line is getting pressure. You're going to throw the ball, and we're going to be there when you throw the ball. That was it. That was it.
Yeah,
that
the thing about it is, and that's a great point in terms of them just like, yo, they dumbed down the lyrics to double their dollars is what they did. They made it very simple, but fact of the matter is they have the personnel to do that. Like,
yes,
people,
because
I heard people say, well, why didn't other teams do that? Other teams don't have the personnel to do that.
Right, and Seattle,
you just can't let them play
well, defensively. They don't show you anything. Everything they do defensively looks simple. So I don't think it causes concern for the quarterback until that ball is snapped and you see it just got real. But they don't show you much. So it wasn't, you know, a lot of time. Now, I don't know if it's because a lot of Seattle fans showed up and it was kind of loud, but you didn't see as much as from, you know, much of the pre-snap crap that Peyton does. Even on the first play of the game.
That is true. Because it was
on the first play of the game, I don't really understand, like, with the whole snap going over his head. I don't understand if they had talked and it was already too loud and they had decided not to do that song and dance before every snap. But, you know, if you've been doing that all season, it would seem kind of weird for the center all of a sudden to just forget that and snap the ball at the wrong time.
I know what it was.
Peyton seemed like he was coming up to say something, but it was louder than normal, you know, if the stadium is supposed to be split. It was kind of loud in there. So, you know, and then once they got down, I don't know if they even had time for all his pre-snap song and dance.
And also, like, Peyton didn't play well at all himself because Peyton caught a couple audibles that were just, like, trash. Like, what are you doing? Like, you look like Romo out there. Like, he caught a couple bad audibles, too, and I'm like, And that's when you know, like, yo, and for me, as a Broncos fan, for me, yo, and I've said this on Field Vision and everything, it didn't hurt as much as last year because the way we got our ass kicked, it's like we were out of it so early that, yo, I couldn't even really get emotional because it didn't look like we had a chance to win that game anyway, any way you look at it.
And that's what I was telling my guys. You know, I was watching the game with Jimmy, and it you know, everything happened so quickly. I mean, he had time to get over it.
Yeah,
he
had time to
game,
get pissed, like. And the thing about it is the way we lost that Ravens game, I'm not going front. I lost it for days after that. Like, so and that's because we had the lead. We had the game. This game, we didn't have nothing. Yo, we got our ass kicked. So it was like nothing to get
and
mad at. Like, they just started.
And
us,
I even
bro.
Had
we got
confidence.
Yo,
I'm like, okay, this is a fast start. They're going to calm down. They're going to get into the game. But Seattle showed you that, you know, their defense is that tough that – if you get down like that, you know, they're just going to step on your neck. I thought until it was 22-0 that there was a chance for the Broncos to come back. I'm figuring if the defense can step up, show some kind of pride, and the offense can calm down and just be the offense that they've been all season, three scores isn't a lot to ask from this team. And, you know, Seattle's offense isn't all that impressive. So I figured that there was still a chance. But then the score just kept going up and up.
Yo,
I even
you
called
guys
the
realize
kickoff
if you
return
take away
in the second half. Jimmy, you stepped out the room. You asked everybody we were there with. I just had that feeling. I'm like, Percy Harvin's going to run this back.
Yo,
sure enough,
this, right?
They did that stupid kick. I don't know what that was, and they ran it back.
Yeah, that was retarded. Yo, think about this.
Yo,
without scoring
Percy
on offense,
so good
they scored more points on defense and special teams than the Broncos scored total.
Hey, yeah.
Think about that.
I mean, no, I mean, to your question, B. Austin, I mean, Harvin just played the way you expect Percy Harvin to play if he could ever stay healthy. I don't know if you remember, last season, prior to getting injured, he was one of the front runners for MVP playing in Minnesota.
He was.
And then, you know, once he got hurt, Adrian just, you know, he was already doing his thing, but he just totally took over. And took that race by storm. But Percy Harvin you know, is a baller. I mean, he's multi-purpose. He does it all. And if he can stay
when
on
he's
the
not
field,
concussed.
Every time he got tackled, I thought he wasn't going to get up. And he didn't take any hard hits, but it's just first
yard. Yo, it's funny. We were watching the
every
game.
Every time
was
he got
like
tackled, we all commented,
yo,
like,
yeah,
yeah, he ain't going to get
it's
up.
It's like 10
he
people in the room,
night.
And everybody said the same thing. Like, he ain't getting up. He ain't getting
yeah.
up. Yo,
person,
yeah.
you know, he got up.
We
probably
got
had a concussion
Extreme Tech hotline.
Brain soft now. Okay.
Yeah, on the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, we have a fellow Bronco gang member. Let's hear what he has to say about this. Let's bring Naeem on in Baltimore by way of Philly.
Condolences, my brother.
Jimmy. Jimmy, I believe you by yourself. I mean, listen.
Condolences,
listen. We all play. It's not condolences. I'm going to tell you what happened. We all played Pop Warner High School football. You know when
yeah.
is that fall and the pads get a little bit colder, you got some of your teammates looking scared of their life, and then the rest of them just quit. You got your ass kicked. I mean, like Jimmy said,
yeah.
I felt better this year than last year. Last year was pitiful. Had to walk around
yo,
this city.
Last year hurt like hell, yo.
Yeah. This
it,
year was
I'm
like
yo,
a
last year hurt
like
hell.
This year was like a Jay-Z and a varsity team scrimming each other. It was just bad. It was just we got kicked. I mean, I just don't
yeah.
like how the media is trying to portray, you know, Peyton Manning, this and that. Hats off to the guy Russell. He played a good game. I mean, Peyton Manning got
Russell played a good game. What did Russell Wilson do?
Well, no,
I mean, he made the throws when he had to.
I'm not going
to
take nothing away from him. I mean, he played, the defense was good. He could just sit back
I
there and do
Russell
what he
Wilson,
do.
I think Russell Wilson played a good game because the pressure was completely taken off of him. Because if you guys remember, they were already up like 25, 30 points. Russell Wilson still had like 94 yards, and I knew his coach wasn't going to let him go out with a stat line like that, so maybe they passed the ball a little, you know, a little later in the game than you probably thought they would. Once they got up a certain amount of points, everybody probably expected it to be beast mode time. But you can't. I understood it. You can't let your quarterback go out with a stat line like that. I mean, he didn't make any mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So he got it up to like 200,
and
two touchdowns.
You know what?
And he completed a lot of passes, so his rating actually looked great. He has like a historical rating in the Super Bowl. Like, he's one of the tops.
Yo,
of all time.
I respect him.
Austin,
I respect him because he knows his role.
There was no
like,
pressure.
There's something to be said for a guy that knows their role. Like, everybody can't be like Breeze, Brady, Manning. So when you know your role and you stick to it, because you see a lot of young quarterbacks who have a role, but they don't know how to stick to it. They start calling audibles they shouldn't. They want to chuck it downfield when they shouldn't. dude stays within
yeah.
his system and knows, listen, I got a historic defense behind me.
But this is on a serious note.
No,
I'll listen earlier.
On some real stuff, Kaepernick does that. At times, Kaepernick is the anti-Russell Wilson. Like, he'd be like, yo, I'm just going to chuck this downfield. Like, I don't care what the call is.
I'm still going to flack about Kaepernick, so I'm going to leave him alone with that picture. the that celebrity boxing match joint, and I think people need to wake up. I mean, this is people really, really need to wake up. They're really they're making this man rich every day we talk about it.
Right.
And it's sad.
Pay-per-view.
Labor be back.
And I don't think it's going to end up going off because too many people are opposed to it. But at the same time, if it does go off, I think a whole lot of people would pay for that on pay-per-view. And like you said, you're making the man rich. It's contrary to what people thought when it first came out. This is not a charity event. That money is not going to charity. That money is going in their pockets. So
exactly.
We can't support that. We can't. Even if it was going to charity, you can't support this.
Capitalism,
not
going
to give this. Yeah, we can't give that money to charity in the name of whatever the hell they're trying to make it in the name of. Like,
but they can do a small donation of $5,000 or $1,000. You know, they're going to say they did a donation, but they're not going to do all the money. But my thing is,
charity,
on the funniest side, I got DMX biting them or doing something stupid. That's going to probably...
You going to do something crackish?
Yeah, exactly. He's going
to
be hot up on something or he can do something stupid, you know? So, I mean, I'd rather see Game do it, personally.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
Yo, tell your man to stay up.
There it is.
Pretty much. But y'all go ahead and enjoy y'all. Jimmy, we'll be all right. We, you know, it was a bad year for us. Purple and gold, we down, but, you know, we back soon. So,
man, this is
stay away from the crack, which I think is pretty good advice, unless you can manage it so.
It's a struggle sports season, man. We'll be all right, though, good brother.
All right,
homie.
All right, nah. Rap to you next week, man.
All right, y'all.
The whole thing, I'm going to say something real quick about the whole legacy thing, because we know everybody's trying to tie Peyton Manning's legacy to this one game, and I always make the comment of how, you know, Peyton's critics talk about him as if he hasn't won a Super Bowl. I think we get spoiled with teams and players who win multiple Super Bowls and championships in every sport. I still think it got everything to do with Michael Jordan. He has an effect on every sport. And now, if you don't win a championship, you can't be great. But in this man's case, he has won a championship. He's been to the Super Bowl 3 times. He has, you know, he breaks crazy records. The guy is still
a great quarterback. But he don't have 4, though.
Yeah, and that's the corny part, because once, you know, they criticize you when you don't get one. When you get one, then you got to win 3. You know, when you win 3,
I got
you
into
win
a
6,
debate today.
Like Mike. So
I got into a debate today with Justin. Justin of Sports Kings. Shout to him, but he's a Raiders fan, so I had to like take it with a grain of salt. But he starts slandering Peyton Manning for the bowl he won. He didn't do nothing in that bowl. That was the running game and the defense. I was like, so now
the Super Bowl
you wanna,
is
like,
one
you know,
game. How do they get to the Super Bowl?
But
you
can't
have a good game every single night. I don't get
this is what
people,
happened,
man.
Like, I mean,
I don't,
you know, it
I
is
don't
what it is,
man.
Man.
I think the two, in my opinion, the two greatest quarterbacks of all time, in my opinion, only have one championship between them, and that's Dan Marino and Peyton Manning. And, you know, call me what you want.
Yeah.
Say what you want.
But,
greatest,
you know, it's funny. Do
your Michael Jordan.
Because I know
the greatest power forward is Robert Horry. He got 7 rings. Y'all can't say nothing.
I mean, the thing is, though, it's sort of like the whole LeBron debate when people were debating about LeBron not having a championship and whether that would matter. I mean, because they've always made the analogy between Peyton and LeBron. Now, we know what LeBron did to get his chips. He was like, yo, I'm going to get my chips. But people will forget, like, when LeBron, like, you know, didn't come through in the clutch, that LeBron game in and game out was the best player in the league, you know. Like you said, it's not about one game, but there is something to be said about being clutch. I think B. Austin was the one who put so much stock in being clutch. And not saying he's not clutch, but to me, football is just the consummate team sport. You need so many things
it's
to go right to the championship. No matter how great you are as a quarterback, yo, you don't play defense. You could put up 30 points a game. If your defense is giving up 50, you're going to lose. I mean,
your
that's just what it is.
Giving up the
your offensive line is not blocking. You're going to lose.
Nothing you can do about it.
And there's so many things
and I'm not
that
trying
to
blame on everybody else. Because he didn't do his part either.
But
when he had an opportunity to do his part, he made some mistakes as well. But it's
he did. I mean, there's a couple times he missed stepping up in the pocket. Yeah. He caused some audibles that were just atrocious. So he didn't have a great game either. But the fact of the matter is, nobody had a great game. That's one of them games. God bless Champ Bailey, but Champ Bailey is at the point now where he looks in the backfield like 1 second too long. His man has 10 yards like cushion on him. Like, Champ Bailey is terrible now. Let's keep it a bean, he's terrible. And I like to make excuses for him because he's Champ Bailey, but Champ, move him to safety, please. Please move Champ to safety. Because, he had a terrible game, everybody had a terrible. Demaryius Thomas put up all those numbers in terms of catches. He fumbled.
For real, Jim, if y'all would have won, maybe y'all would have moved Champ to retirement. Y'all needed to win that game to get him out of your hair.
It's just sad watching Champ play now. Between last year's playoff game and, like, a couple plays he made in the bowl, I'm like, damn, that's Champ Bailey, though.
Hey, real quick, because I want to say a few things about the season. But do you guys think Seattle this year, because you know everybody says 1 year most of the time when they talk about defenses anyway. So you guys think Seattle's defense, 2013 defense, you think they're an all-time defense?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I got to look back at it. I mean, I can't really say that as of yet because the Ravens always jump off the, sheet to me.
That's number one.
Because
I'm not saying did they surpass all of the all-time defenses, but are they in that conversation now where we talk about the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens, the 2002 Bucks, and the 2013 Seattle Seahawks. The fact that people do it in one-year increments, I think you have to put their names up there. I mean, they were the number one defense in the league coming into the playoffs,
yes.
And then they had a Super Bowl for the ages.
It's not possible.
I think you have to.
They will be.
I can prove they are. I can prove to
you. And you know, I don't do the pom-pom thing. I don't do the prisoner of the moment thing, but I think
I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm not disagreeing with it. You have to prove it to me. I'm not disagreeing with it.
He's going to spend the rest of our minutes proving it.
You ain't
got
to prove it to me. I don't need
to. No, not at all.
Give me the thing that stood out the most to you guys in this NFL season. Give me one thing that stood out the most to you guys.
That the traditional quarterback is still the way you win and have success.
Do you think that talk is going to ratchet up because a team led by Westbrook Wilson won the Super Bowl? Even they're going to look past the fact that they really didn't need him much.
Only the Lemmings can have that argument because when you actually look at the game, serious people are going to realize that Russell Wilson was barely out there and that team was led by that defense and by the Legion of Boom, really.
What I was going to say is me and B. Austin have had the debate several times about the whole pocket passer thing, and I always like – you know, say that I don't think the pocket passer will be around that much longer because I think the game is changing. When you look at, in my opinion, the teams you have to watch out for next year, like the San Frans and Seattle's, like this is how the game is going to be played now. It's going to be, you know, athletes taking over, playing the quarterback
position. Name teams that have beastly defenses, though.
But that's my point.
You're not naming
put it like this, Jim. Do you think that mobile form of quarterback is ever going to carry teams the way pocket passers have done in the past?
Probably not. I mean, maybe not, because I think that the game itself is going to change. Where you're not going to we have quarterbacks right now putting up crazy numbers. I think that's going to slow down a little bit, and the games are going to be played, you know, by athletic guys. But the defenses are becoming so athletic. And you got corners and linebackers. They're so big now that it's going to – like Seattle and San Fran, I think, are the future of football. And when you look at how Jacksonville, as bad as they are, the way they're building their team, and when you look at the Rams, the way they're building their team, like I think this is what's going to happen. So – and then when you look at the way the game is played at the lower levels, like the pocket passers don't exist. So unless you turn the guys who aren't pocket passers into pocket passers, which is possible – I just think the game is changing overall.
You know, Jim, like my whole thing, that was the biggest thing that stood out to me this season. Now, you know, I want to give props to even my team and Chip Kelly and everything that he's done. What stood out to me is in a league that tries to prevent you from playing defense, at the end, defense prevailed. And when I say the end, I'm not just talking about the Super Bowl. The fact that you had the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game to begin with, you know, it shows you,
Panthers, the cliche
could still ring true. Offense sells tickets,
defense
wins
championships. The top three teams, I mean, you look at the Panthers who had a tremendous season.
Yeah.
They were
Panthers.
Their defense was amazing.
Saints.
I mean, in my opinion, that's what's going to happen because we all know football is a copycat league. So that's going to be the new wave. The new wave is you get
That's a reason that I look at Seattle as being an all-time great, because not only are they playing the offenses on the field, but they're playing Roger Goodell and the owners and every week that they step on the field, and those guys are trying to legislate against them, and they're still successful.
Cool. All right, well, look,
we
got to get out of here. So, you know,
we
shout out
to
the NFL.
Excellent show, gentlemen.
Good season.
It's now time to dig deep into this thing of ours as our show moves forward. It's basketball season. This is our favorite sport. We get to get more in depth, and, you know, we get to talk about Evan Turner because that's Dad's favorite player. And we're going to remain a Sixer. Look out of here. Anyway, man. Thanks for joining us in the War Room, everybody. Had another excellent show. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. Those on Facebook and Twitter, send us messages on the show. Shout out to you as well. Those calls we got on the air, we appreciate it. Those we didn't get on the air, give us a call back next week, because we will be back here next week, same time, same place. You know, talk some more sports. Talk about what's going on in Sochi and whatnot. Anyway, don't forget, Facebook and Twitter, at War Room Sports. You can hit me up personally on Christian Mingle and Farmers Only. And you can watch all of our video content on WarRoomSportsTV.com, WarRoomSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Stay in tune to Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, be often, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com, get that mobile app. If not, dial 323-14-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop scholars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.